Tonight's passage is from Job 23, and I want to read the passage for us as we begin. Job 23, in your pew Bible, it's on page 743. Then Job replied, "Even today my complaint is bitter. His hand is heavy in spite of my groaning. If only I knew where to find him, if only I could go to his dwelling, I would state my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would find out what he would answer me and consider what he would say to me. Would he vigorously oppose me? No, he would not press charges against me. There the upright can establish their innocence before them, and there I would be delivered forever from my judge. But if I go to the east, he is not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. When he's at work in the north, I do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. My feet have closely followed his steps. I have kept his way without turning aside. I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. But he stands alone. Who can oppose him? He does whatever he pleases. He carries out his decree against me, and in many such plans he has still in store. That is why I am terrified before him. When I think of all this, I fear him. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. Yet I am not in silence by the darkness, by the thick darkness that covers my face." This is the word of the Lord. When we think of Job, we think of all the trials that he experienced. It's stunning when you read through the first few chapters of his experience. He lost his wealth, and it goes through all of the camels and the donkeys and the crops and this and that and this and that. Then he lost all of his servants. Then he lost all of his children. Then he lost his health and was covered with boils all over his body. Then the social isolation that he experienced as all of his friends abandoned him. His wife told him to turn against the Lord, but he wouldn't. And the emotional and spiritual anguish that he experienced is found throughout these 42 chapters. When you think of Job, you might think, well, my life is, I struggle, I have problems, we all have struggles. In fact, one of my friends passed away last week. Godly guy, I loved him. We would talk many times, and we said many times, I think I'm living Job's life. Mini Job. I have many experiences that I feel like this is Job, I'm going through the same thing. And you probably feel like at times in your life that you're going through the same thing or the same similar things. And you look at that list of things and you think, well, I didn't lose that or not that, but I do have the physical affliction, I do have isolation, I have anguish, I have struggles. I feel like Job. Well, if you feel like Job, you're not alone, because I think that's life. Job had three friends that we know. And they were great in the fact that they came and they sat in silence before him for 7 days. That's the best thing they ever did. They sat and just, they were there. They were present. And many times I think, you know, when you go to a funeral or you go to someone who's in the hospital, you just sit in silence with them. Your presence speaks a lot. The support, the love, the care. They did care for him, but then they started talking and that was their mistake. And they argued, and they said, man, Job, you must be a filthy, rotten sinner for all these things coming after you. And so Eliphaz spoke first. They had three speeches, and he responded three times. And Eliphaz, at the end of the day, he just said, suffering is a result of sin, so you must have sinned. You know, I mean, he said what we all think. That's in our mind. When something bad happens to somebody, you say, man, what did they do wrong? And Eliphaz's verse is, consider now, who being innocent has ever perished? Where were the upright ever destroyed? So that goes through our minds. We think, well, somebody sinned here. And then there was Bildad. And so his argument is, well, God punishes sinners. He says, does God pervert justice? Does the Almighty pervert what is right? And then he, in a later argument, he even said, hey, your kids were even sinners. When your children sinned against him, he gave them over to the penalty of their sin. So it's like, you know, the house that fell down and destroyed 10 of his children, that's because they were sinners. Oh man, this guy's harsh. And then Zophar. And he was a lot more pointed, and he was a lot more vicious, really, in his arguments. In fact, some of his chapters, he starts naming Job's sins and accusing him of stuff that he didn't do, but he jumped to conclusions, and he even says, know this, God has even forgotten some of your sins. It's like, you have so many sins, God can't even remember them all. It's like, so, you know, with three friends like that, you don't need enemies, right? Well, so this comes to Job 23. And Job gives six responses to these arguments. And this guy is suffering immensely. Not only did he have the emotional loss of losing his family and the physical pain and the anguish, he's wrestling with, why is this happening to me? What have I done? And he knew in his heart that he had not sinned against God. In fact, I mean, you know, it says in Job chapter 1, it says that God pointed him out, and it says he feared God. And let me read that verse. It's Job chapter 1. It says, this man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. That was God's commentary on Job's life. He was blameless, upright, feared God, and shunned evil. And Job knew that in his heart. And now he's just wondering, why? Why is this happening to me? And so, Job gives seven responses. The first response he gives is, I am filing a formal complaint. I'm taking God to court. I am so upset, and this is not fair. God's not being just to me, and I am complaining. So write it down so everybody knows I'm complaining. God isn't fair. Do you ever feel like God isn't fair? Do you feel like you're going through something and you say, man, you know I'm a sinner. I'm not as righteous as Job, but man, this isn't fair. This just is not right. How? And remember Asaph in Psalm 73? He had the same problem in the sense that he turned to the wicked and says, man, the wicked people, they're getting away with murder. And I am suffering. Why do the wicked prosper? They feel like their lives are great. They don't have any problems, but I've got serious problems. Well, Job is saying, even today my complaint is bitter. His hand is heavy on me in spite of my groaning. He was so overwhelmed by this struggle, and the weight of the burden of this trial was so heavy on him, he's groaning. And he's just saying, I'm complaining. And then he goes into this wonderful phrase, if only I knew where to find him. Thanks, Donna, for that song. That's such a beautiful song. If only I knew where to find him. I want to touch him. I want to lay my complaint before him. I want to talk to him personally, face to face. I'm trying to find him, but I can't find him. And so he goes through this search, and he says, I want to state my case before him. I want to give him all my arguments. I want to tell him, I've tried to live for you. I would find out what he would answer me and consider what he would say to me. Would he oppose me? Would he press charges against me? He said, I'm innocent here. And he says, there the upright can establish their sentence. I want to state my case before God. The challenge is, you can't just call up and get an appointment and get your day in court. Not in this life. Eventually, you'll be able to do that, but not now. And Job had this struggle, and he goes through this struggle. If only I knew where to find him. If only I knew how to reach out to him, how to hear his voice, how to get his answer. But he says, but if I go to the east, he's not there. If I go to the west, I don't find him. He's looking, he's trying, he's searching everywhere he goes. He's trying to find God, but I can't find him. I can't find the answers. There's no relief. Nothing changes. I search, but I cannot find God. Scripture says a lot about seeking God. Jeremiah 29, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Well, we know that, but experiencing that, doing that, feeling that, that's where Job was. He was trying. He was seeking, but he wasn't finding. Matthew 7, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. We know that. We believe that, but still, I still have to seek. And you know, then it says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, because you can't find that the door isn't always open. It doesn't open. Seeking God. Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while you be found. Call on him while he is near. Proverbs 8, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. The promise, I can. Those who seek me find me. But when I'm in the trial, and I'm in pain, and I'm overwhelmed, even though I'm seeking God, and I'm not getting answers. I'm not finding him. I don't understand. Why is this happening? But if from there you seek the Lord, your God, you'll find him. If you seek him, with all your heart and with all your soul. That's the promise. Am I the only one that's been here where I'm trying and I'm not getting through? And I'm not understanding. And I don't get it. More and more. I think of Job. He's seeking. He can't find the Lord. Hebrews 6, we know that it's without faith, it's impossible to please him, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I'm trying to do that. That's what Job was trying to do, but I can't find him. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, never forsake those who seek you. I believe that. Job believed it, but still, in the midst of this trial, it clouds his vision. He can't see it. Lamentations. The Lord is good to those whose hope in him, to the one who seeks him. Come near to God. He will come near to you. So I know that in my head. But why am I experiencing this trial that is so deep that blinds me? I cannot find him. Can't. This is the pinnacle of this chapter. This is so wonderful. Job says, I know. God has a perfect plan. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, know it. But he's in it. He can't experience that. I know it. But when he has destined me, I will come forth. I know it. But I'm in it. I love James 1. I get a little mad at it. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. I get mad at that. It's like, come on. I'm not there. I'm supposed to be there, but I'm not there. Because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I'm sure you know that verse. I'm sure you quote that verse all the time. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives it generously without finding fault, it would be given to you. I'm sure you pray that every day. But you're still in the trial. It doesn't go away. Excuse me. 1 Peter 1. Unless in this you greatly rejoice. Oh, come on, you guys. James said, consider joy. Now Peter says, rejoice. Come on, really? Though for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though it is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Trials are trying to purify us and make us mature, and the end result is the genuineness of our faith. When you go through the heat of the battle and you come through on the other side, then you can say, this guy was real. He tests your faith. Job, what was he feeling? So Job's fourth response to this trial was, I search his word daily. That's fascinating. He's trying to find God. He's seeking God. He can't find God anywhere he works. Looks, he can't find him. He knows he's there. He knows that it's when he's tried me, he's going to come forth as gold. He knows that, so he keeps seeking God through his word. This is a great verse. My feet have closely followed his steps. I have kept close his way without turning aside. Feel this guy's anguish. I'm like the three friends that aren't friends. I'm thinking, Job, you're a sinner somewhere. Come on, finally, revealing that you're a sinner. But no, he says, I've not departed from the commands of my lips. I treasure the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. He says, I'm searching every day in the Word of God. Charles Spurgeon said, if you read the Bible with steady resolve to find God in Christ with its pages, I am morally certain that you will not have to read it long. I like that. So, you got to be in the Word, right? Every day. Now, I don't know if you use the today in the Word or the daily bread or some other devotional help, but I think those are great tools. I think they're very helpful. I think they give us a prompting, the rhythm of daily being in the Word, I think is a really just value to you. One of the things I do, this is a website. It's called Random Bibleizer. I've probably been using this 10 years, and so every morning, I have it on my phone, actually. And I will choose this, and I'll punch the blue button, and it starts shuffling through all the chapters in Scripture, and it will just land on one, and that's the chapter I'll read that day. It's kind of crazy, but I like doing it. And to me, it makes it fresh. It's one of these things that when I read the chapter, and there's something in there that really applies to me, I just say to myself, well, God could have chosen another chapter. Why did he choose this chapter? It's got to be something here for me. And it really makes it special for me. I just like doing it that way. So it's a website, and it's just one of those tools that I use. I like it a lot. There's been many times that I've read that chapter, and then that day somebody has something that comes up, and I'm able to say, well, hey, I just read that. Now, if you read however you do Scripture, today in the Word, or our daily bread, or whatever else you do, it's the same thing. I just use this because I think, well, nothing's random. God brings me to a verse for a reason for a moment. But it helps me. It gives me just kind of the encouragement to say, I'm going to seek God's word today. What is he saying me today? Here's the other thing I do that has just been amazing to me. I apologize if you can't see that too well. But it's called the Bible Memory app. And so what it is, on your phone, you can download this app, and so what it does, it gives you the ability, you can choose a verse, and it will walk you through how to memorize it. So you can type it up. You can type each word, and then after you memorize that verse, then it will set a time for you to review that verse, and that's the interesting thing about it. And that's why I like this, is it's the daily reminder of trying to be in the Word. And I want to encourage you that this is a great tool that really will help you with the spiritual discipline of memory. You know, we all know that we should memorize the Word, but it's hard. It's just a hard thing to do. And so this helps you with the discipline to do it. And I like that. It's helped me so much. In fact, there's been many, many times that someone will have an issue that'll come up, and a verse will come to my mind that I might not be able to remember the reference or whatever, but I can remember enough of it to share. And it's just a wonderful tool that I want to encourage you to try. Started out with John 11:45, Jesus wept, and that'll be easy for you. So do that one. Now you say, well, I don't have a phone. I'm not technology. I don't like technology. That's fine. My mom is 94 years old. I went to see her on Wednesday. She's in a care facility in Des Moines, Iowa. So she's just been a godly woman. I owe her so much in my life. So a few years ago, she says, I'm going to memorize the book of Romans. I thought, wow, good for you. So she said, Romans chapter 4. She's 94. So I don't want to hear any excuses that I'm too old or I don't have a phone and I can't memorize a verse. If my mom can memorize the book of Romans, so can I. So can you. Job said, I'm in your word every day. Even in fact, isn't it crazy? He said, he called it my daily bread. I thought, oh. I don't know if those guys came up. I think they came up with their word from, give us their daily bread. That's where they came up with their phrase. But here it was in Job, and Job says, this is how I'm getting through my trial. It's with the word of God. Job has another complaint. This is the fifth response. To all the struggles, he says, I am terrified of God's hand. He said, but he stands alone. Who can oppose him? He does whatever he pleases. He carries out his decrees against me, and many such plans he still has in store. Job simply says, God is sovereign. He has a plan. I don't understand his plan. I'm terrified because my life's a vapor. Every day is a blessing that I get out of bed. In fact, one time I went to a African-American church and one of the guys got up and prayed. And he says, God, I praise you that I woke up in my right mind today. I thought, oh man, I need that. I'm praying that. Life is so fragile, right? There's so many things. And you think, well, I've gone through a lot of trials. There's nothing left. Yeah, sure. And Job is saying, think of all the things that Job went through. But he says, man, he's got more. Well, okay, so I got to think about 10:13, where it says, no temptation or trial has taken me that is it's common to man, but God is faithful. He will not let me be tested beyond what I can bear. And so evidently, he must know that I can handle this trial because I have it, and he won't give me more than I can handle. So here it is. But he's terrified. That is why I'm terrified before him. When I think of all this, I fear him. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. Now, is that your image of Christ? Is that your image of Jesus? No, that's not really your image of the Lord. Your image is that he's a loving, compassionate, gracious shepherd full of love. And he is. He is also the king of the world, the universe, the creator. He is sovereign over everything in your life. He has in complete control. Here are some people who experienced God. They were able to find God. He actually found them. Abraham fell face down. Moses hid his face and is afraid to look at God. Isaiah felt unworthy, exclaimed his sinfulness. Ezekiel fell face down. Daniel lost strength, fell into a deep sleep, face down. Elijah covered his face and his clothes. Gideon feared he would die. Samson's parents fell at their faces and feared death. Peter, James, and John fell face down, terrified. We serve an awesome God, and we treat him flippantly sometimes, and we need to approach the throne of grace with fear and trembling. Saul, Paul, he fell to the ground, asked, "Who are you, Lord?" John in Revelation fell at his feet, though dead. These men, they saw God, and their reaction was fear. Hebrews 12 tells us, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that can not be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." We need to approach God with reverence and awe and respect. And when you're in the midst of the trial, we sense that weight and the heaviness and the burden on our lives. Those are the times that draw you to him. He is a loving God who cares and has compassion, but he's a God that should be feared. Interesting, there's a response of the children of Israel at the Mount Sinai when Moses went up on the mountain and got the Ten Commandments. And when the people saw the thunder and the lightning and they heard the trumpet and saw the mountain and smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance. They said to Moses, "Speak to us yourselves, we will listen, but don't have God speak to us or we will die." They had this fear and trembling of God. Moses approached him. So, here's somebody that feared God and should have. It was the Belshazzar in king. He was Daniel. This is the guy who had the writing on the wall, right? He was having this great party, and God showed up, uninvited, of course, showed up, and suddenly the fingers of a human hand appeared, wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand of the royal palace. The king watched. Can you imagine that? Oof. His face turned pale. He was so frightened that his leg became weak and his knees were knocking. Should have been, because he had blasphemed the Lord and he was called into judgment right there. And he should have been. You should fall down before the Lord. The last one that I really want you to consider here. Job said, "I seek him in the darkness." So he says, yet I am not silenced by the darkness, by the thick darkness that covers my face. This is the last verse of this chapter. You're supposed to kind of end on a happy note, I think, maybe. Job said, I'm still in the dark. This is chapter 23. There are 42 chapters. Job is in the middle of this. He is still struggling after he went through all this thing, the bright hope of, I know if he tried me, I will come forth to go. He knows all that, but he's still in the darkness. It hasn't let up. You know, our trials don't just evaporate. They don't just go away. You don't just get up in the morning and say, wow, that was great. I'm glad I'm done with that. The struggle is real, and you're still struggling. I'm referencing back to what I just read about Israel. It says, when the people saw the thunder and the lightning, heard the trumpet, and they trembled, and they said, don't have God speak to us. So what did Moses do? Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you. So there you go. So that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. I like that. The fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. God has come to test you. So think of the trial that you're in. God has come to test you. God has come to put the fear of God in you, right? To keep you from sinning. But the people remain at a distance. And look at this. Well, Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. So we had a little storm this week, and it was crazy. Tuesday morning? It was like 7 o'clock in the morning. It was so dark. And I went to work, and it was really dark, and the rain was coming down like crazy. And I come along a light pole on the Beltline, and a transformer, a lightning hit it. And it was arcing up, and it was so bright, and it was lighting a tree on fire. It was like, whoa, this is like apocalyptic. It was so dark. And Cynthia took off to go to Blue Lake Camp, and I thought, you should probably wait a little bit. Well, you know, she's so determined, and she's got to get there, and so, you know, she can't, you know. So she went on, and she's out in the middle of this thing, and she's just like wind, and yeah. Moses approached God in the thick darkness. What a man of faith. What a man of courage. But he's still in the dark. Well, so here is the deal. James 1:12. We know, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Thank you, Lord. Praise for that. Praise God for that. Having stood the test. Well, you got to end with this one. So James chapter 5, brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. That's so reassuring. Job 23, he's still in the darkness. He's still in the midst. He's not done yet. James chapter 5, he stood the test. You see what God finally brought about. He does. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. You can get through it, whatever that through it is. You can make it. God will sustain you and give you what you need to stand. He will. And we need that reassurance. And the only way you're going to keep that reassurance is to get into the Word of God every day, memorize God's word. Let it be in your heart. Let it fill your mind. Let it help you with all the answers and all the questions. Even though you still have questions and you still struggle and it's still something could happen tomorrow that just throws you and you just think, oh man, what's going to happen next? Remember Job. That persevere, patience, trust, seek. Oh, that I knew where I could find him, that I could even come before his presence. If with all your heart you truly seek him, you shall ever find him, thus saith the Lord. Lord, I thank you for these friends. I know many are going through deep trials, deep struggles. We don't understand why, but we know you've got a plan. We don't understand, but we know it says, I will come forth as gold. We know that, Lord. Help us when we wonder about it, doubt it, question it. Forgive us for complaining, but help us to struggle through it. We need your help. Bless us now, in Jesus' name. Amen.